If you will, please open your Bibles. Of all books, I thought I would not speak today from the book of Romans. Those of you that are members here know why. Pastor Dan is going through the book of Romans. And I thought that's the last passage I would preach from, but my study took me to the book of Romans. And today we'll be reading a couple of verses out of Romans chapter 6. However, Pastor Dan's already preached that chapter, so I'm safe. Okay? But today is Public Servants Day, and we want to welcome you all here, and we've done that. And I love word studies. I really do. And so you don't have to use it. Matter of fact, there's not much of an outline in your bulletin. There are four questions that I'm going to try to answer today revolving around a word study. Four word studies. For instance, I would like us to consider the answer to these four questions, the first one being, what does it mean to be a public servant? Now, before we get to these questions, I would like us to read Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. If you have your Bibles and you're there, follow along as I read just these two verses. But God being thanked that ye were the servants of sin... So you were the servants of sin. But ye having obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then, when after you obeyed from the heart, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. There you see that word servants in those verses used at least twice. And so my first question is, what does it mean to be a public servant? So where would you find out the answer to that? Well, you Google it, of course. And finding the answer to what is a public servant, it's a person who holds a government position by election or appointment. Does that include any of you? Raise your hand. Okay, does that include any of you? I see one or two others. So, public servant. Now, another definition, it's one that's employed for a government, department, or agency. Does that include any of you? Yes, it does. Another definition, by the way, one employed for a government, department, or agency, that means you actually work for us. I like that. Do you? Matter of fact, we want to talk to you guys maybe a little bit afterwards. Or it says this, the next definition, someone who labors for the public good. So you should be looking out for our good, for the public good. Definition of a public servant. What are these people? That's what they are. Now, I wanted to sneak this last one in here because I thought it was very unique when I went looking for definitions of a public servant. Did you include this one, Holly? Here we go. It's a convict. Don't blame me. Daniel Webster. It's a convict assigned to work on public projects. That could be a public servant. Now I ask you, does that include any of you? I'm not going to ask if that includes any of you, but none of them raised their hands, so I'm glad to know you're not a convict. But I just thought I would give you that fourth definition. I love word studies. What's a public servant? A person who holds a government position by vote or appointment. A person that's employed by for the government or some agency. Someone who looks out for public good. And it could be a convict assigned to do some duty even for public good. Now the word servant, we just read the word servant in Romans chapter 6. The word servant appears 124 times in Scripture. 124 times. Now that word servant 124 times comes from the very same Greek word in the original. And 123 out of 124 times, it's always in our King James Bible or most modern translation. It comes from a Greek word, which I'll share with you in a moment, but it's most always, all but once, it's in the English, the word servant, okay? So we've got to go find out, what does the word servant mean? By definition, a servant is a person hired to do household or personal duties. A servant can be a person in the service of another. A servant, not a public servant, just a servant, the word servant, can choose their own boss or master, and they can quit when they want to. That's a servant. A servant is one that has not relinquished their personal rights, so they still have personal rights. Now, I want you to understand that James, in James chapter 1, verse 1, and I don't know if you know who that James is that wrote the book of James, but that James was the pastor of the first church in Jerusalem. That James was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was the first preacher in that church. And they took James into a high pinnacle in that church, and they asked him to renounce his Lord Jesus Christ. And when he refused to do so, they threw him to his death. Historians tell us, however, it didn't kill him to fall. Instead, a guy came along with a fuller's club and put him out of his misery, dashed him in the head, and that's how the Apostle James died. By the way, this James that wrote the book of James in Scripture was the brother of our Lord. And I don't know if this would be hard or easy for you to understand, but James did not believe that Jesus Christ was God and the Son of God until after Jesus died and was rose again. So as brothers growing up, he's not God. But after he rose from the grave, he was God. So much so, he not only was a follower, he became a proclaimer, and he died. James, however, when he opens his book in James, he says, James, a servant of God. The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, he says, John, a servant of God. Who's this John? John is the one that New Testament tells us that Jesus loved. Some would say he loved him the most. John was the one that sat right next to Jesus at the Last Supper. John was the one that the Lord looked down from the cross and said, John, what? He wanted him to take care of his mother. He entrusted the care of his mother to him. It was this John that wrote the book of Revelation, and it was this John that called himself not an apostle, but he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. This same word is used by Jude, who called himself a servant of Christ. It was used by Paul, who called himself a servant of Christ. It was used by Peter, who called himself a servant of Christ. The original word, in the original, the Greek word that is used for that is doulos. Doulos. And this word doulos is used in the original 124 times. And all but once, it comes out as servant in our English language. Now, according to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, the word doulos, back in the day, is used exclusively either to describe the status of a slave or an attitude corresponding to that of a slave. Now, I warn you, the message that I'm going to bring to you today on this word study of servant and slave may not be popular. Matter of fact, it wasn't popular back then. If doulos means slave, then why, for 123 times in Scripture, did it come out in our English language as servant? Why do we not see the word slave? Matter of fact, some commentators that I read, they said this is the, quote, lost word, unquote. Invariably, every time you see the word servant in the New Testament, in the Greek, in the original in which it was written, it's doulos, which was always in the day used for a slave, not a servant. Some Bible scholars believe that it's because of the stigma attached to slave, to the slave trade, and to slavery of the British in the American colonial days. And the idea of a slave conjures up the thought or the picture of bondage and shackles and beatings and other negative imagery. The word slave in the 16th century depicted someone in physical chains and or in prison. And when did we get this English version? King James in about when? 1611. And in the 16th century, to be a slave was a horrific thing, or so some people felt. Translators of the early English version opted for the word servant rather than slave. They may have thought it more representative of the Greco-Roman culture. In that day in Rome, a full 20% of the people were servants and or slaves. But in Rome, a lot of the servants lived right in their master's homes, and they were treated well. And go back and study history. Yes, there were the scourgings, and there were the imprisonments, and there were the bone breaking, and there was the rack, and there was improper treatment of slaves. But by and large, it was just part of the culture in Rome. And so perhaps back in 1611 or so, rather than use this word doulos, which means slave, every time when they put it in the English language, it came out servant. You see, there is a difference. There is a difference between the meaning of the word servant and the word slave. Since the original word is doulos, and it always meant slave, we need to understand just what the apostles were saying and what they meant when they called themselves a slave of Jesus Christ. What does it mean, then, to be a public servant? We shared it with you. What is a servant? We've shared it with you. A person that still has their rights. A person that can choose their master or boss. A person that was treated rather well, often. Now, what does it mean to be a slave? We go back now to our passage. Are you still there? Do you have your Bibles open? Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the... Now, what, according to what we just taught, what's the word? Doulos, which means what? It says, but God be thanked that you were the slave of what? Of sin. Folks, when we were lost before Jesus Christ, the Bible is teaching us we were in bondage. We were a slave to sin. That's what this verse is saying. But it goes on because it's doulos. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. Let me say this. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ. A lot of people know about God. A lot of people have a head knowledge of who He is, A lot of people may know the story, the account, the history, the fact that Jesus Christ came and was born and died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. He died and he's the only one ever, and he rose the third day, the only one to ever raise from the grave and not die again. A lot of people know that story, but you see what this verse says? It's with the heart man believeth. It's with the heart. It's not enough to have a head knowledge. But God be thanked that you used to be slaves of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart. The form of doctrine, that's about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, being then made free from sin, no longer a slave. But ye became the, what's the next word? What is it, class? Well, it says servants, but what have I taught you it means? You were slaves of sin, but now you're slaves of righteousness. What does it mean to be a slave? First of all, it means a slave, not a servant. It means exclusive ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Why not? Because, that's the word for, because you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You see, slaves in Bible times were considered a piece of property in the absolute control of their owner. That was a slave. Is that different than the definition of a servant? Yes or no? Yes, it is. They hired servants, much like modern employees. They could choose their masters. They could quit if they wanted. Not so with a slave. A slave had no such choice. Whether they were born into slavery, sold into slavery, kidnapped into slavery, they belonged entirely to those that owned them. You see, to be a slave is exclusive ownership. Number two, or letter B, to be a slave meant complete submission. 1 John 2:3, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Being a slave not only meant belonging to someone, it also meant being always available to obey that person in every way. You did not disobey your master. Slaves know no law but their master's words. A slave has no rights of their own. Slaves, they were the absolute possession of their master, and they're bound to give their master unquestioning obedience. That's a slave. Being a slave meant singular devotion. Are you starting to get a picture of the difference between being a servant and being a slave? And I want you to remember, when you read your Bible in the New Testament and you see the word servant, that you once were a servant to sin, it really in the Greek said slave. And now you're not a servant to righteousness, you're a slave to righteousness. And there's a difference between a slave and a servant. The third thing to be a slave, there was singular devotion. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either we will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, the life of a slave in the New Testament times may have been difficult, but it was relatively simple. What do I mean by that? Slaves had only one primary concern, and that was to carry out the will of the master. That's it. In areas where they were given direct commands, they were required to obey. In areas where they had no direct command, they were to find ways that they could best please the master. That was their whole life, was to obey and please the master. To be a slave not only meant singular devotion, it also meant total dependence. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What does that have to do with slavery? Folks, as part of the master's household, slaves were completely dependent on their owners for the basic necessities of life, including food, shelter, and clothing. They were given their meals. They didn't have to wonder where their meals were coming from. Now, you can do a study on this, and you'll find that most of their meals consisted of corn. It could be cornmeal, could be cornbread, it could be corn mush, it could be corn left over from the pigs, whatever, but it was mostly corn. Slaves usually lived with their masters, either in separate slave quarters or in smaller houses, wherever the space was available. These provisions gave slaves a significant advantage in the Bible times over servants or non-slaves, because they didn't have to worry about where they were going to sleep or what they were going to eat. They were totally dependent on the master. And if the master was wise, he would take care of the slaves so that they could better serve him. Difference between slaves and servants. And finally, for a slave, there was personal accountability. For we must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it would be good or bad. You see, in everything the slave did, first century slaves were entirely accountable to their owners. Ultimately, the master's evaluation was the only one that mattered. If the master was pleased, the slave would benefit. A lifetime of faithfulness for a slave might even be rewarded, and he might be given his freedom. But if the master was displeased, the slave could expect some discipline. And yes, there was often severe flogging and some kinds of extreme punishment. Breaking of the bones, crucifixion even, amputations, hot tar, those kind of things, misuse and abuse did happen to slaves. We have defined so far that a public servant is a convicted convict that's doing work, and or someone elected or appointed into government office. We have defined what it means to be a servant and a slave. Now, the last question in a word study, because I believe we get from this word doulos what it really means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, today in this society in which we live, I mean, I went and Googled it. I went and looked it up in the dictionary. I read this week, what does it mean to be a Christian? And some people say to be a Christian means to be an anointed one. You see, some people believe that when they were sprinkled or baptized, they became a Christian. For others, I read this, I really did, it isn't just for today. For others, it may be a political statement. Because depending on who they are and where they are and who they're talking to, it may be a political advantage to be a Christian. So for some people, it could be a political statement. For some, it's a desire to be good. If I just can be good enough, I'll make it to heaven. I'm a Christian. Or if I'm a member of that type of church. And I read all this week. For some, it's based on some past religious experience that they may have had or felt or been part of in their childhood or teen years or early adulthood. But what's the Bible definition? By the way, you can only find the... I love word studies. Sorry. You only find the word Christian 3 times in the whole Bible. And the word Christian was first coined, that word created, by those that were anti-Jesus Christ and anti-Christian. And what they did is they used the word with disdain to put down those that were followers of Christ. I can imagine it might have used like, yeah, there goes one of those Christians. It was a very demeaning term. That's where we get this word Christian. The Bible definition and meaning to these people back in that day, to be called a Christian in the early church was to be identified as one of Jesus Christ's disciples and associated with him as a loyal follower. Yeah, he's one of those Christians. He's one that follows Christ. Thus, to be a Christian in the New Testament days was to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, is that the definition today? Is that how people live their lives? Folks, some people are Christian in name only. It has nothing to do with whether or not they are a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle James and John and Paul and Peter, they all knew what it meant to be a Christian. They called themselves, each one of them, in their different books in the New Testament, each one of them called themselves a doulos of Jesus Christ, even his own brothers, a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. To be a Christian means just what we said in this word slave. And the reason that I wanted to share this today, yes, I knew we'd have a few public servants, but I'm talking to a room full of people that profess themselves to be Christians. And I want you to understand that in the King James Bible and most modern translations, you don't get the meaning of the word when James said, James, a slave of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if some of you knew that you were going to be saved from being a slave in sin, and then you were going to become now a slave of righteousness of Jesus Christ, you might say, hey, hold it, I'm not going to sign up for that. I'm not going to be anybody's slave. What does it mean to be a Christian? Complete submission. To always obey him and his word. We have no personal rights. We submit ourselves to him and his will completely in everything that we do if we're a slave of Jesus Christ. It means exclusive ownership. Jesus Christ has paid the price through his blood for us on the cross. What? Know you not? You're bought with the price. Jesus Christ died to pay the price for your sin and mine. He owns you if you've accepted him as Savior. To be a Christian means exclusive ownership. It means complete submission. It means singular devotion. We're to be fully devoted to him alone. Like slaves who are fully devoted to their master alone. Our greatest concern as Christians in life can be summed up in the words of Jesus Christ in Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. is that you? With all your strength? With all your mind? With all your might? To be a Christian means exclusive ownership. I don't belong to myself. It means complete submission. It's not what I want in life, it's what He wants for me. Are you willing to do His will on a daily basis? It means singular devotion. I'm devoted to the Master. It means total dependence to be a Christian. Completely dependent on Him for all the necessities of our life. It means, yes, personal accountability. You see, the Bible teaches us we as Christians are accountable to Jesus Christ. One day, believers, we are going to meet Him, Jesus Christ, face to face. It's called the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ. And oh, I know, we're not going to be judged for our sin, the Bible teaches us, because our sins were paid for on the cross. They're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. But you and I as believers are going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Go read your Bible. Read the first chapter of Revelation. I'll tell you what, I'm thinking of what I'm going to tell you right now, and I got chills up and down my arms right now, if only you could see. I have it. Because the Bible says that John was caught up into heaven, and John was given a vision, and he was told to write it for us. And he says that he looked and he gazed upon someone and he saw him. The person had their back to him and he was all white. White hair, white clothes, and he was all white. And that person turned. By the way, he had a name and it was called Ancient of Days. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And that person turned and he looked at John. And those of you that know your Bible, John, what did he do? He fell flat to the ground. He couldn't look at the person, because when that person turned and looked at him, the Bible tells us his eyes were, anybody fill in the blank? Fire. Put it all together, folks. The Bible says to you Christians and to me that we're going to be at the Bema Seat of Christ, and all our works are going to be tried by fire. And I believe the Ancient of Days at the Bema Seat is going to look at us, and he's going to know and see everything we've done for him. And it scared the bejeebies out of John, and he fell flat. Folks, there's coming a day. You know why? Because we don't belong to ourselves. All our devotion is to be to Him. All we are is slaves, and we're accountable. And one day we're going to be held accountable. Let me conclude by saying this. Are you a public servant? And by the way, as Christians, shouldn't we all be public servants? I mean, we're slaves of Christ. We're to serve Him. And should we not do that publicly? Should people not know and see? In conclusion, let me ask you this, dear Christian. I'm not talking to those that have never accepted Christ as a Savior. Are you a servant or are you a slave? Are you even a Christian? You know, in this day and age in which we live, in the modern thinking of Christianity today, many people have made Christ the slave. And we're the master. It could be the health and wealth teaching. It could just be the way of life. But Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, you promised to bless me. Lord, answer this prayer. Wait a minute. We're the slave. He's the master. He doesn't serve us. We serve Him. We don't own Him. He owns us. It was the middle of the second century. By the way, as a teacher, I know usually one of the poorest ways to communicate is to read something, but at the chance of boring you, I'm going to do it anyway. In the middle of the second century, during the reign of Emperor Marcus Aurelius, Christianity was illegal, and believers throughout the Roman Empire faced the threat of imprisonment, torture, and death. Persecution was especially intense in southern Europe, where Santicus, a deacon from Vienna, had been arrested and brought to trial. The young man was repeatedly told to renounce the faith that he professed, but his resolve was undeterred, and he said, "I am a Christian." No matter what question he was asked, he always gave the same unchanging answers. According to an ancient church historian, he said he girded himself against his accusers with such firmness that he would not even tell his name or the nation or the city to which he belonged, or whether he was bond or free, but he answered the Roman tongue to all their questions, "I am a Christian." When at last it became obvious that he would say nothing else, he was condemned to severe torture and a public death in the amphitheater. On the day of his execution, he was forced to run the gauntlet, subject to wild beasts, and fastened to a chair of burning iron. Throughout all of it, his accusers kept trying to break him, convinced that his resistance would crack under the pain of torment. But this historian recounted, "Even thus they did not hear a word from Santicus except the confession which he uttered from the beginning." His dying words told of an undying commitment. His rallying cry remained constant throughout the entire trial, "I am a Christian." For Santicus, his whole identity, including his name, his citizenship, his social status, was found in Jesus Christ. Hence, no better answer could have been given to the question that he was asked. He was a Christian, and that designation defined everything about him. I pause there and say, the fact that I'm a Christian, does that define everything about me? This same persecution was shared by countless others in the early church. It fueled their witness, it strengthened their resolve, and it confounded their opponents. When arrested, these courageous believers would confidently respond, just as Santicus had, with the succinct assertion of their loyalty to Christ. Following Jesus Christ was the sum of their entire existence. At the moment when life itself was on the line, nothing else mattered except to identify theirself with Him. Whew. For these faithful believers, the name Christian was much more than just a religious designation. It defined everything about them, including how they viewed both themselves and the world around them. The label underscored their love for a crucified Messiah, along with a willingness to follow Him no matter the cost. It told of the wholesale transformation that Christ had made in their lives. They had died to their old way of life, having been born again into the family of God. Christian was not simply a title, but it was a new, totally new way of thinking and living their life for Christ. Are you a public servant? Are you a servant? Or are you a slave? Are you a Christian? And can you be defined by that term?